Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, that music means one thing. We're doing top five, bottom five, 6 weeks into the NFL season. We're going to give you the best of the best, and then later on, the worst of the worst. And I'm going to get started with my number five team. I've been waiting for this game, a game like this at some point this season, and it came later in the afternoon. I'm going to put the Philadelphia Eagles at number five. Do I still like the Eagles as a complete team? Yeah. Did they really pop at any point this season? Not really. I was kind of wondering when they would kind of burst a bit. You can do that. You're fine. You don't have to go unbeaten to be awesome. You can still be great. They're still one of the top rushing teams in the NFL, and Jalen Hurts is still a threat no matter what he does with the football. But they did not play well against the Jets. They turned the ball over four times, and it wasn't all that shocking. That's the thing to me. We talked about this yesterday. Was it more shocking the Eagles or more shocking San Francisco? The answer for me was San Francisco. I didn't see that one coming, but I felt like the Eagles were going to lose at some point to a team like the Jets, and they did. I wasn't blown away that the Jets beat them. So the Eagles are number five.
You know, it's funny, and I'm hoping, I know we might have the same top five, and they might be shuffled around a little bit.
Right.
Or... when dogs start to look like their owners, we could have the same. We'll see. But at number five, this is where I have the Eagles, too, for all the same reasons. I just haven't seen that explosiveness. I think it's a good team. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be, standing on top of the NFC East at the end of the season. It just doesn't feel like – it almost feels like they do just enough to win games,
right,
except for last week.
Yeah.
Or Sunday.
And again, my bar may be a little too high to reach. I don't know. Maybe it's so. But when I compare them to other teams, I just go, no, they're not better than them. They don't look better than them. So, yeah, you're right, five. All right, let's go to number four. Kansas City. Could you make the same argument about Kansas City? That's a good team. They're the Super Bowl champs. They got the best player in the game in Patrick Mahomes. They got the best tight end in the game in Travis Kelce. They're second in the league in passing. They're 5-1 after a week one loss to Detroit, in which they did not have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones. But, Broncos just hung around a little too long. Nevertheless, I love them. I do. I think they're the AFC's best team right now. Well, not the AFC's best team right now, but again, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. But I put Kansas City at number four.
Number four for me. This was a huge fall from grace for me. Because shaking my head, still don't understand how it happened. Number four is where I put the Niners.
Niners, okay.
That was a huge disappointment against. I mean, you lost to PJ Walker.
You want to double this up, because I've got the Niners at three.
Sure.
So let's have a longer conversation about the Niners.
I mean, you lost. I'm going to reiterate it just in case the people in the back didn't hear me. You lost to PJ Walker.
Right. Exactly.
I don't even know what else to say. I understand, injuries play a role, but still, it's PJ Walker.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. Tear me up on Twitter all you want. I don't care. You and I have been saying Brock Purdy needs to have a game where everything that is right about his offense isn't working. Something happens and he's going to have to go, I got it. That was the perfect opportunity for that. And I know he didn't miss the field goal, okay? The kid was Jake Moody, is that his name? The kid that missed the field goal. He missed the field goal. He didn't. But he did not take control of that team. They needed a way to figure out Jim Schwartz's masterclass game plan that the Browns utilized to slow them down. Good quarterbacks can figure that out as the game is progressing. He did not. He did not look comfortable as the Browns kept moving up that scrimmage line and getting coverage in different areas. Again, I think Kyle Shanahan wasn't ready for that kind of defensive maneuver. All of this plays into Purdy's excuse, but he's the quarterback of the football team. So the Niners, I'm with you. They're number three for me.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Had they lost to a well-played Deshaun Watson, great.
Oh, I probably wouldn't have penalized them too much.
Right.
They still would have dropped. There still would have been a fall from grace, but, I mean, I wanted to drop them down to five, Because I still think they're the, you know, they're the toast of the NFC. But
I agree.
Just, you know, they got to be punished. I mean, I thought the Eagles played worse than they did.
Yeah, that's right. So Niners are three for me.
Number three for me. This is where I had the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Okay.
And you know, it's just, I mean, it's everything you said. It's like the Eagles. You know, both of these teams who met in the Super Bowl last year haven't really put teams away. I mean, the Chiefs had a golden opportunity Thursday night.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, this is a Broncos team that you could literally, well, I think with a good beatdown, and I'm not saying you got to go 70-20. You got to match what the Dolphins did to them. But if, you know, you really shut them down instead of letting them hang out, I mean, it would have been a franchise killer for the season.
Yeah.
You know, if you really took it to them like you can and you should, you know, it just feels like they're like, you know, like what I said about the Eagles. They're doing just enough to win games.
That's what the normal explosiveness that we had grown accustomed to is gone. I think a lot of that has to do with wide receivers. Patrick Mahomes doesn't fully trust yet.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said about that, but I agree with you. It's not the same feeling, but nevertheless, you can't keep that up.
And you better be careful because you know you've got a whole new fan base. You don't want to alienate that whole new fan base just yet. Because they know football. You
know, they know football now. They know how hard it is to win in the National Football League. Number two. I did it. Detroit Lions.
Same here.
Detroit Lions.
Same here.
5-1.
I had to.
Here's the deal with the Lions. The Lions have only one loss, and that is to Seattle in overtime. Seattle's a pretty pesky team. They are a top 10 team.
And that was in Seattle too, right?
No, I think it was in Detroit.
Was that in Detroit?
Yeah, I think it was in Detroit.
Be better if it was in Seattle.
It would have been better if it was in Seattle.
More of an excuse.
They are a top 10 team in passing. They're a top 10 team in rushing. They're averaging 28 points per game. This is a really well put together team. They are well coached. They are balanced. They went down to Tampa. They just got done. They got down to business, held that Buccaneers team in those creamsicle uniforms to just two field goals. They are putting up, I mean, they are really putting up some points. And Jared Goff has got 11 touchdowns already this season. It's a really fun story. Maybe I'm more so interested in the story, but I'm going to tell you, the Lions are a force. I wouldn't want to play them right now. They are going to beat you.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on this. I had the Lions at number two as well. And the one thing I'm really liking about the Lions, too, is that their fans are traveling.
They are traveling.
Or Detroit Lions, who have been in hiding for years, are finally coming out. Maybe they're like cicadas.
You know what? That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Maybe, you know how, like, you know, a couple of years ago, we had cicadas coming up out of the ground for the first time in 17 years, and it was going to be this epidemic all across the United States. Especially the mountain ranges, the Appalachian ranges. Maybe that's just, maybe Lions fans have just been laying in dormant.
You know,
and then all
that's
of a sudden it's like, oh, we can show our true colors.
You know, I live in an area where there's a lot of Michigan transplants because of the auto plant here. And I'm wondering if I drive around, I'll see more Lions flags on, because I see Michigan flags everywhere.
No, of course.
Red wing flags.
And, you know, they'll never Lions? Stop that fandom. But I mean, you know,
You know,
maybe you'll start seeing a little more Honolulu blue and silver.
I'm wondering if they're going to, like, throw that up next to the Michigan Wolverine flag that they've been parading around since fall started. Because you're right. They've had no reason to. And now
maybe you should buy some, like, cheap small ones and start handing them out.
Yeah, selling them. Yeah.
Selling them.
Yeah, here you go. Lions gear. Lions gear. Get
your Lions. Because, I mean, they're a fantastic team.
They really are. Number one, Miami.
Yeah.
The Dolphins cruising right now.
It's a clinic.
I love what they did to Carolina. Carolina went up 14-0. The Dolphins then scored 35 straight points. Sorry, yeah, we're done with this. Yeah, we were just playing around.
It was like, you know, it's almost as if they started their B team while the guys were just like still stretching. It's like, I'm still getting the rub down. Oh, you need us now? All right, let's go, boys.
Exactly. Five straight touchdowns before a pick six got Carolina back on the board.
I mean,
that's how you're
this
beat
team
them,
is
them making mistakes.
Yep.
That's it.
You and I honestly think Tyreek Hill is going to get 2,000 yards.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised.
I mean, I saw it somewhere. I'm not sure who put it down, but he just needs to average like a little over 100 yards per game, and he's there.
That's easy. He'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's going to get 150, 180 again like he has been.
So really, I mean, just well-coached team, right, the right coach running this. Great philosophy on how to get the players that you want to get in a rookie contract situation with Tua. You haven't paid Tua yet. You can spend some money. Go out and get assets. Win today. You know, it's funny. When the Dolphins kind of started this, it was an era, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes, but Buffalo was ruling the division, and you're thinking, well, why don't you chill for a little bit? Wait till that dies down. No, they were like, we know we could. Let's go get some players. Let's go get Tyreek Hill. Let's go make a play for Bradley Chubb. Let's go make a play for other players. You know, let's get some other guys in here. They've done that. It's been smart. It's not going to last forever, but right now it's been smart.
No. Trading players for draft picks, making the right picks.
Yep.
This is how you run a team.
That's right. All right, we'll have the worst of the worst when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we have got the worst of the worst now. The bottom five in the National Football League. Oh, boy. There's a lot of bad teams out there. It's even hard to rank them. I had to leave a team off, and they stink.
I purposely left one team off.
Okay.
And I'm going to preface it. I'm going to say it now.
Go ahead.
In my bottom five this week, I did not include the Panthers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because...
You feel sorry for them?
No. I mean, they haven't won a game yet. Now, maybe there is a little bit of sympathy, but I think it's more the fact that there were five other teams I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I know. Me
and too. I couldn't leave one of these five teams off.
Yeah, well, let me just put it this way. An 0-6 team, they're not last on my list for that very reason. Other teams I want to destroy. But I'm going to start with 28, and that's Arizona, and only because I'm not as fired up at Arizona being 1-5 as they are other teams that stink in the National Football League.
Arizona, I'm with you. I actually have them at 28 as well.
Yeah. Like, I'm at... All right. Arizona's not good, okay? But nobody thought they were. It wasn't supposed to be good. They gave a little fight in the beginning. Like, hey, look out. And Josh Dobbs. But, you know, it's all coming back down to earth now. They got crushed by the Rams. You know, it is what it is. But you know what? I ain't mad at them.
Wasn't it Cooper Kupp's first game back, and he just did anything he wanted to against them? And
exactly.
I mean, it's not a good football team, but we all knew it was. I mean, we were making fun of them at the beginning of the season, you know, making fun of their head coach.
They got a coach that with Jonathan Gannon isn't exactly a rah-rah guy.
Wants to know if you're going to get on that bus.
Get on that bus.
I mean, are you ready to take the bus, Tony?
They give up a ton of yards.
Yeah.
And they just yuck. They give up a ton of points. Yuck. So you know what? I'm not as mad about them.
They have to be in the bottom five.
All right, there you go. So you and now number 29. This is where I put Carolina for the same reason. I should have done what you did. Could have given me another bit of room to rip apart another bad team in the National Football League.
Yeah.
But I put them in there. You know, they deserve to be in the bottom five. But I wish I did what you did. Just sort of said, you know what? They're 0-6. What do you want?
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback.
They played against the Dolphins. I'm not going to – I really think they were going to beat the Dolphins.
They got crushed by the Dolphins after being up 14-0. And you know what? No one cares about them blowing a 14-0 lead like Colorado blowing a 29-0 lead.
That's literally – you know what that game was? I had another analogy. That's like, you know, when you let your kids win?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, because you're trying to build their confidence, and then they are too cocky. You go, I'm sorry.
That's
and
right.
Then you completely shut them up. I mean, that's basically what the Dolphins did to the to the Panthers.
So 29 for me is the Panthers. I got those two teams that I'm not, whatever, out of the way. What is your 29?
I want to say this too as well, all right? 29 to 32, they're all interchangeable.
Right.
I had to put them in some order. I almost thought about going just alphabetical.
Oh, why not?
Just for
sure.
Fun. Because these are all terrible teams. But for 29 for me, this is where I put the Patriots.
Patriots, okay.
They are 1-5 for the first time, since 1995?
Yes.
Another fun stat that I saw was that they snapped their streak of 28 drives failing to reach the red zone.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting statistic.
Yeah. So for 20, I mean, they finally reached the red zone Sunday, but 28 drives before doing that. They couldn't even get to the red zone.
I heard a statistic on a podcast where they said Tom Brady, because they were talking about how good, you know, like, let's all be honest, Tom Brady was so good at his job. Like, it's kind of like what we've been saying. It morphed everybody else. Like, it allowed people to ride that coattail to success they normally would not have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josh McDaniels would not have been a coach in the NFL twice.
If
he didn't have Tom Brady to guide.
Honestly, I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
I really do.
So they said this is how far the Patriots have fallen. Tom Brady never took a snap in his entire career. His entire career never took a snap in which his team was mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. 20 years in the NFL.
Wow, I'm trying to do the math in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. He never played a meaningless game. Other than it was meaningless that he didn't need to win it.
Right. The only meaningless game was like, hey, we don't need you in game 17.
Exactly. So, that's how the mighty have fallen. 28 for me. This is where I put the Giants.
Okay.
They stink. Daniel Jones was out. But they got Saquon Barkley back. And they played better with Saquon Barkley back in the lineup. And the Bills should be ashamed of themselves for how that game went down. That game should have been Buffalo blowing the crap out of the Giants, exploding the Giants, and just scoring at will. But the Giants' defense played up, and they bothered Josh Allen enough that they didn't get on the board until the fourth quarter. But why the Giants still stink is their clock management was atrocious, and their play calling was atrocious Sunday night. And they had a chance to win that game. What an amazing performance that would have been if they pulled off a sloppy win against Buffalo in Buffalo. But they couldn't do it because they decided to throw it. They didn't get it. And then on the last play of the first half, they forgot what time was on the clock. So the Giants are 30.
30. That's a good one.
All right.
Number 30 for me, this is where I have the Bears.
Bears, okay.
Reports are that Justin Fields is going to miss some considerable time. I think they're listing him doubtful for this Sunday's game. Dislocated right thumb. So that's going to be hard to grip a ball with.
Right.
So, Bears, the Windy City looks to you, Tyson Bassett.
Wow. That's who's going to be playing now?
Well, that's who came. I'm assuming it's him. He's second on the depth chart. I had to look it up on Saturday. I had no idea who Tyson Baguette, I don't know how to even say his last name, was. And I, you know what? I had it here, and I might have to look it up again because I still don't know what school this kid went to.
How is
But Nathan Peterman is the third string quarterback.
I just looked him up. He played at a college called Shepherd.
Thank you. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Now here's my problem. Here's the thing. This
where is Shepherd?
This league is bonkers. This league is serious bonkers. You have guys that are flexing Rolex watches that may not get a chance to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
On the college level.
Yep.
And a guy we've never heard of, like Easton Stick, for example. They're an injury away from being the starting quarterback of an NFL team.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this kid, Tyson Baguette. I've never heard of him. I have no idea who he is.
He came into the game on Saturday, Sunday, in relief, or you know, not relief, but because of the injured Justin Fields. He was terrible.
Was he good?
No, I've told you, he was terrible.
Terrible. He was 10 for 14 for 83 yards with an interception. Yeah. Well, that's who he is. All right.
So,
but isn't that amazing?
And like, their seriously. Backup is Nathan Peterman.
Right.
One time, wasn't he the starter for the Bills?
Literally the worst player in the National Football League. But
that's
still
their backup.
Just keeps getting jobs. This you've got all of these quarterbacks all over college football going crazy, and some of them won't make it. Some of them will not make it. Some of them will be in the league for like 3 years, and the next thing you know, you're like watching some college game between James Madison and Coastal Carolina, and you're like, Hey, wasn't he the quarterback at State U? Yes, he was, but he's not in football anymore. He's a 25-year-old color analyst on ESPN3 because the league kicked him out.
Yep.
Now you have a guy
from Shepherd University, Division II school in West Virginia, starting, most likely starting, I don't think they've announced it yet, but most likely starting for one of the more storied franchises in NFL history.
Exactly. That's how crazy this league is. All right.
And Tennessee has two backups that would, you know, probably run circles around this guy.
31. This is where I put the Patriots.
Okay.
Sorry. I think they stink. They're 1-5, and their coach, who's the greatest mastermind in the history of defensive football, this team is lousy. He is full of his own hubris. He's got nothing, absolutely nothing. 1-5, lost 3 in a row. I just wanted to say that.
No, I got you.
Say the frustration of the Patriots.
Number 31 for me. This is where I have... the Broncos.
Okay. Because I have the Broncos.
I know
32.
You do. And see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Tony. Like, I agree. Like I said from the very beginning, I think my four teams and probably your four teams are all interchangeable.
Right.
I think you should have left the Panthers out. But, you know, we'll leave that for another time.
I should have left the Panthers out.
Because that's low-hanging fruit.
Because I didn't have the Bears, and I should have had the Bears.
But the Broncos are horrific.
They are horrible. Horrific.
The fact that they have one of the, you know, a former MVP potential and then, you know, bring in a head coach who is considered one of the better ones in the game and they can't make this work is terrible.
They're giving up 33 points per game.
We might need to carry this over because I haven't even given my 32 team
yet.
Yeah,
we'll carry it over a little bit. Talk about some of the lousy teams in the NFL. Continue along. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Give us your thoughts on top five, bottom five as we continue on a Tuesday.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're continuing a little bit on the bottom five because we got off on the Denver Broncos, which is my number 32 team.
And they were my 31
team.
Right, and I know, and I wanted to say this. I didn't get a chance to. I know why, and I knew from the get-go they were going to be your 32 team because you do have a little bit of a bias towards them.
Yeah, I cannot believe that this team cannot figure out how to win football games in 9 years, 8 years.
Yeah.
Since they won a Super Bowl. Like, seriously, it's not just like, oh, they got to the AFC title game and lost, or, oh, they lost in the divisional round. They haven't been to the playoffs since winning Super Bowl 50.
It's just been a complete reversal of fortune for them. I mean,
it's like they sold their soul to get Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And now the devil is back, like, collecting.
Isn't that Faust?
Yeah. You're done. Every quarterback is going to stink.
From here on
everybody.
Out.
Everybody.
Oh, they had a good season somewhere else?
Yeah,
not here.
Right? Oh, you're gonna make T-shirts and give them out to people in the city like Wacko for Flacco and whatever. Nope. Sorry. They all stink. Let's ride Bronco Country or whatever else he was saying. Done.
I mean, I remember when that trade came down, we thought that it's like, okay.
Flip it over.
Finally got their quarterback.
They got their guy. It was one of those circumstances where you went, you know what? This is probably going to work out for both parties. Russell Wilson is going to get a new life somewhere else, and the Seahawks are going to be able to get rid of a headache. It's just a marriage that's not really working. They both need new partners, and they'll both be okay. I had no idea a year and a third into Russell Wilson's time in Denver, it's a train wreck.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Nothing has mattered. Like any coach they've brought in. I mean, I thought Sean Payton was like, God, you know, and we all said it from the very get-go. Man, you know, him and Drew Brees, thick as thieves, man. They were on the same page all the time. Look what they were able to create. I mean, sure, they only had one Super Bowl appearance and win, but it didn't matter. I mean, they were perennial favorites every single season. And it was the fact that twice the Saints should have gone to the Super Bowl but got screwed over.
That's right. It's funny, too. It's. I wonder when Sean Payton took the job and was like, oh, yeah, Russell Wilson. I know Russell Wilson. I know Russ. It'll be good. We'll be working. And then a couple of meetings later, he's telling his wife, I don't like this guy.
Oops.
I don't think we're going to make it. I'm kind of bitter at him.
Yeah.
I can already feel it, honey. There's this like thing in my stomach that's like, this guy is going to drive me crazy all season long.
Real quick.
It's like your daughter's trying to sell you her boyfriend and you just know you hate him.
Yeah.
Like you just go, I can't. Honey, I know you love him, but I can't get around.
There's just
Ethan
something about him.
Ethan doesn't seem to be a good kid. Although Ethans tend to be good kids.
They do.
Yeah, you know. But that's the way I feel like Sean Payton is like, Russell Wilson, I'm just never going to get along with this guy.
It's just, you can't. I don't know. It's really bizarre. I mean, the bizarre behavior that started with the Seahawks and then, like, it seemed to explode
right
when he got to the Broncos. You know, unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited. And then the defense, they were like, you know what, Randy Gregory, we don't need you anymore. Frank Clark, we don't need you anymore. Like, we're going to just trim this down to nothing. A season's gone. Go find new homes. Gregory is on the Niners. I mean, talk about moving on up.
And where's Frank? Frank Clark went somewhere and has exploded as well, hasn't he?
Frank, he just got released.
He just got released.
I don't know if he's landed anywhere. But I think he probably did. I don't know, so... I don't remember the news of where he's at right now.
Oh no, that's right. He's he's contemplating right now. They're in talks of bringing him back to the Chiefs.
Oh, how great would that be? Can you imagine a San Francisco Kansas City Super Bowl with these two ex Broncos shaking hands before the game? Going,
make
that
you know what?
God,
they should be the ones to go out for the coin toss.
Right, that would be awesome. If I were both those teams, I would do it.
You know, just like, hey,
stick it to the Broncos.
It looked like it worked out for you. Yeah, it worked out for you too, didn't it? My God, look at us.
I know. How great is this? We're in the Super Bowl. Some place we'd never be if we were there.
Yeah.
Oh, working for Vance Joseph.
So real quick, I need to give my 30-second team because I didn't get a chance to. My 30-second team, this is where I had the Giants.
Giants.
And okay. I thought the Giants did play well. Ish against the Bills.
Ish. Good ish. Yeah.
But here's the problem. Here's why I put them dead last. They haven't scored an offensive touchdown in over 200 minutes.
That's true. It's a long time. That's a good point. I like that.
The only reason why I'm putting them down below the Patriots, the Bears, the Broncos. Giants. And the other thing that really sticks out in my mind, you had an opportunity at the end of the half, and you had an opportunity at the end of the game, the first half and the game.
I do not understand, and I'm never, again, I haven't played the position of quarterback at any level, so I'm not like a former high school quarterback or anything like that. How do you not know what time is left on the clock? How are you not cognizant of the time? There is a huge number clock in your view.
Right in front. Well, maybe if
right
you don't look up.
Right in front of you. How are you not aware that we got to get things moving, everybody? Everybody, it's ticking, ticking, ticking. Let's get going. Let's at least spike it so we can get the field goal unit on or run a surprise play. I don't care, but we're going to get something off because the last thing we want is for the referee to blow the whistle and go, "Hop, sorry, too late. It's over."
Or even that. I mean, why run a running run a running play when it was supposed to be a passing play at the end of the half?
That's the other thing, too. Yeah. That was the reason it got set up.
Yeah, it's like you didn't know.
They went with a run that didn't go in. Tackled and couldn't stop the clock. So they were in a frenzy, but they still, even when they got set up, they took a little too long to snap.
Yeah.
So, yikes. All right, that's top five, bottom five.
It's just, I mean, I have no words for that team. And, you know, I think the Broncos situation is a lot worse. And now I'm going to hold reservation. The Bears, I think, are going to creep back into this conversation.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know what you can do with the Tyson Baguette. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I got to look him up. Now I got to look up Shepherd College.
Yeah.
To find out how he did, if I'm a Bears
fan. Apparently, I saw it earlier. He had a D1 scholarship offer from Robert Morris in Albany, which he turned down to go to Division II Shepherd.
All right.
And
now
I think that's
a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, he's a Chicago Bear. He's
dreams come true.
Starting quarterback.
It's great.
Nathan Peterman backing him up.
Seriously. It's unbelievable.
But, I mean, they have a lot of problems. I mean, their running back, Khalil Herbert's out. He's on IR now.
It's something that I've said over and over again, and I just want to repeat this. I do not understand where we are failing, where we cannot get good enough quarterbacks to fill rosters. And I mean all the way down to the third string guy.
Right.
I'm not understanding where the breakoff is. Is the game – listen, we know that the game is different from an athletic standpoint. We know that the game is a speed differential. We get all that. We get it. But is it philosophically different from college to the pros, that if you train a kid in high school to get that scholarship, you send them to all the quarterback camps, you send them to be taught by some of the best minds, you send them to wherever, that they learn a certain way just to get the scholarship – so that they can play good high school football, then they get to college and they kind of continue on that same vein. But there's a different way to play the position at the pro level that we're not churning out 60 kids a year that can do this. Like, is that what's happening? Is the demands of a Lincoln Riley way different than the demands of a Sean Payton? You know,
and see,
or
like,
Matt
and, you know, and you're going your three, your top, your three quarterbacks, right? I think the Titans have the best scenario
in terms of people they have now.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I don't think Malik Willis is an NFL quarterback.
Maybe not.
He holds the ball too long.
True.
He doesn't.
But then you have Will.
He takes sacks.
What's his name?
Will Levis.
Will Levis.
I'm looking forward to see if he's a decent enough pro.
But it's shocking then when you think about it, like, you know, you think about the backup quarterbacks. We have a Tyson Baggett possibly starting this weekend. Is he really better than Carson Wentz?
Right. That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Is he better than
who's cheaper than Carson Wentz?
Yeah, that's a given.
Right? So you don't that's the other reason, right? So if you're wondering why a guy that played at the University of at Oklahoma, why he's calling games on ESPN3 at 25 years old and not in the NFL, because he was likely a second round pick, had some money, and they didn't want to pay him money to be a backup.
Who, Tyson Beck? You talking about Tyson?
No, I'm talking about whoever. Like,
okay,
like,
yeah.
When you find a guy you know from college is calling games and Easton Stick and Tyson Bengen is backup quarterbacks, because they're
picking on Easton Stick, man.
They are the cheapest options. Maybe that has more to do with it.
I think you're 100% right.
So, nevertheless, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We'll talk some Monday Night Football and the baseball playoffs from yesterday.